Tonight's lesson is Because He Lives. There are some estimated 4,200 religions in the world. Some of these range from new religious movements founded in the 21st century to ancient faiths originated thousands of years ago. Yet nearly all of them have one major thing in common. You can visit the tomb of their founder. Muhammad is buried in the mosque of the Prophet, located in the city of Medina, Saudi Arabia. Krishna, a semi-legendary founder figure in Hinduism, is said to have died in Baka, Taka, India. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, was buried at the Smith Family Cemetery in Nauvoo, Illinois. It is believed that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem is Christ's traditional burial site. Nearly 4 million people visit this church on a yearly basis. But inside is nothing. It's simply an empty tomb. This is the essential difference between Christianity and the rest of the world's religions. We have a living Savior. Our Savior is risen. We have witnesses to his resurrection and ascension into heaven, recorded for us in the book of Acts. Jesus has no eternal resting place on earth. You can't find Christ's bones anywhere on earth because, unlike all these other religious founders, Jesus is not dead. In fact, he lives. And because he lives, we can truly have confidence in our hope. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times." And also in John 14th chapter and verse 9, "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live." There is an old hymn we sing, "Because He Lives," Brian just led it, that teaches us four great lessons about Christ's resurrection. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, I know He holds the future. Because He lives, life is worth living. Because Jesus lives, He makes all the difference in our lives. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. However, there is one of our greatest fears, and that is the fear of unknown, the unknown. This is why we fear the future. It is because we do not like the unknown. We have this innate fear of what may come. In fact, the unknown can often drive us into madness if we let it. Horror writer H.P. Lovecraft had this to say: "The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is the fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown will consume us if we let it." How many of us would love to know what our future holds? How many would find great peace within their hearts if they knew all trials would work out in the end? When we look at men who faced incredible challenges in their lives and the unimaginable amounts of stress that they face, how much easier would it have been for them if they had known that they would triumph? How much more sleep would Winston Churchill have gotten at night if he knew that the United Kingdom would defeat Germany? What the unknown and the future bring us is the opportunity for adversity. Some of the forms of adversity that may come from our family, our personal lives, our professional lives, and even our spiritual lives. Whatever the form of adversity we fear, it is good to know that we can overcome it through Christ. How does Christ help us face adversity, the unknown? Knowing Christ is our strength. Paul said in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verses 12 through 13, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Knowing Christ help us to endure. 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, verses 11 through 13. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Knowing Christ helps us triumph. In 1 John 5th chapter, verses 3 through 5, For this is the love of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There are a great many things that we can be afraid of. There is a fear of spiders. There is a fear of enclosed spaces. And there is a fear of clowns. But yet, all these fears and phobias and anxieties come down to one common fear, and that is the fear of death. Why do we fear death? What might keep both a Christian and an agnostic up at night? It is the fear of judgment. The agnostic is not sure, but what they fear the most, just as we fear, is knowing that there is an all-powerful God seated on the throne of judgment in heaven. How does Jesus help us face death? Christ overcame death. In 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verses 55 and 57, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 100 years ago, polio was one of the greatest killers in the world. Now it's nearly extinct. Earlier than that, it was the Black Plague. Now it's virtually unheard of and easily cured. Today, the greatest medical epidemics to man are cancer and HIV. It would be no surprise if in a few years these diseases would be cured or be so rare that hardly anyone gets sick from them anymore. Just COVID is not as strong as it was when it first came out. There is one element that man will not be able to cure, and that is his sin. Our sin separates us from God, creating an eternal death. Our sin can only be forgiven by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. Death has no cure. There is only one man who has overcome death, and only through him can we be saved from sin and death. With Christ, death has no power over us. In John 11th chapter, verses 25 through 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Also in 1 Corinthians 6th chapter, verses 9 through 11, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do we believe this? Do we have our hope in Christ, and that if we believe, if we trust and obey Him, death has no power over us? He has promised us the gift of eternal life. Christ turns death into a promise of hope. Paul knew that death is scary, even to Christians, which is why he wrote these comforting words in 1 Thessalonians 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring him with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Because he lives, he holds the future. Christ is ruler of the future. Jesus has an exclusive position now in heaven. Not only is he reigning above all, but he is literally in control of the future. Christ has a power above all. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 19 through 21, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is to come. Christ created the universe. In John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus has the power. Jesus has the authority. Christ will bring judgment to his enemies. In Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. And God placed the current authorities in power. In Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. God can just as easily remove them from authority. In Daniel, the second chapter, in verse 21, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. We should fear God and not man. In Matthew 10th chapter, verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear the one who can destroy our soul, not just our bodies. The kingdoms of men may rise and fall, but only God's kingdom is eternal. In Hebrews 12th chapter and verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Also in Hebrews 5th chapter and verse 5 and 6, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' Because Jesus lives, life is worth living. Without Jesus, life is ultimately without purpose." Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, verses 2 and 3. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has man from all of his labor in which he toils under the sun? Without God, what feat or purpose in life has meaning? What heroic effort of life is eternal? Our gold will be spent. Our buildings will fall. Our bodies will perish. Without Christ, there is ultimately nothing that we can live for that will matter. This is why people have become so desperate in recent times. It is a sad realization that without God, life has no meaning or purpose. But Christ gives life a purpose." In Philippians 3 through 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." With Jesus Christ, we know we have something far greater to live for. Not for earthly rewards or riches, but heaven itself. What makes Christianity so great is that our founder was not just some mortal man. Our founder is not buried under some tomb or shrine. Our founder is the Son of God. He lives in heaven above, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. We know he holds the future, and life is worth living because Jesus lives. Christ lives. Because Jesus lives, we can truly start living. If you're not a Christian, can you truly live like life is worth the living? Do you know who holds the future? Is your fear gone? Can you face tomorrow? With Christ, you can. If you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not put on Christ, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing. And if there's anyone that needs the prayers here of the saints, we ask that you come forward and let it be known.